Hi, we're in studio today with Sam Hutchinson, the founder of Everlytic.
G'day everybody, how's it going?
Today we're talking a little bit about Everlytic and where Everlytic came from.
Cool, we can talk about a lot of things. Always an interesting story and journey, even just for me to think about.
Great. Well, what made you want to start your own company?
A lot of people ask me that, and I wish it was a romantic story. But I think the honest truth is, I try to get a job in the dot-com crash. IT people were like vermin. I went for 3 or 4 job interviews, and nobody would hire me because all IT people were getting retrenched like crazy. I mean, a lot of people don't even know the dot-com crash, but that was 15, 20 years ago, major global financial crisis. It was not mainly as bad as the recent one, but it was pretty bad. None of us could get jobs.
Wow.
Before that, I'd always worked for myself. So my parents cut pocket money at about 14. I had to kind of start cutting it. Yeah.
That's
kind of where things started, and carried on working the whole way through school, the whole way through varsity, paid my own fees at various points in life. And by the time I finished varsity, we already had a company that was doing random IT things. It was interesting. In those days, there was no Everlytic. I kind of think we were doing anything legal for money out of a laundry, trying to pay bills, trying to have parties, trying to impress ladies, trying to go to parties.
As you do.
Yeah. I think the first company we ran was a music business, actually. We ran one of the biggest online music websites in the country.
Oh, wow.
It was all about production and how to produce music, because that was our interest. And it was a very, very popular website, probably 3rd or 4th biggest website in the country. It was an amazing place.
Jeez, and why did you move from there?
Made no money. So that was the honest truth behind it. But I think what happened is that was very much our varsity gig. So we were getting invited to lots of parties. We were writing lots of things and just having a cool varsity time. But by the time we ended varsity, we started having customers who wanted the same things we were doing for our music business. So we started selling the same things we built for our music company to other customers.
Okay.
And we pretty much turned into a bunch of clever tech guys who could build anything on the internet. And you have to understand, the internet was kind of being born in South Africa through those days. It was like the sites were coming online. There were very few people even knew what HTML stood for. And we were like pretty shit hot computer science guys that were doing very well, coding some amazing stuff. And we pulled that off and just started reselling stuff. It was an interesting time. I had a partner, amazing guy, Josh Adler, and we built that stuff. And then we got to a point where we were doing loads of custom work for many different publishers. We kind of liked publishers at the time. And I really got tired of publishing. We're building all these interesting things for publishing companies, and I realized I was so tired of listening to another person tell me to build another custom thing that they wanted me to build for them, and I still thought it was a pretty cuck idea. And we always used to admire companies like Microsoft who were building their own product, and you bought their product on their terms. I always loved that. Like, if you don't want my stuff, don't buy it. If you want it, buy it.
Yeah.
And we noticed that a lot of our customers needed to send newsletters because we were servicing publishers. So we started building just a product that could send customers newsletters. Eventually, it was about 10 or 12% of our revenue, just email newsletter sending for our publishing customers. And we got to this point where we decided, let's just take a chance. Let's stop doing the work we don't like doing. And we pretty much gave that entire custom dev business away, gave it away to another company. We lost about 70% of our revenue in 1 year. We kept all the staff, drew a lot of money out of my bond, and we worked our ass off over 2 years trying to build the email newsletter sending business into a business that could pay for everybody's salaries.
Wow.
And fortunately, we pulled it off. I went gray a bit young.
Must have been a stressful time.
I don't know if it's weird. When you're young, stress is almost like, it's almost fun, right? So I think stress only really matters when you maybe have kids. But when you don't have to pay for their school fees and you're just like, I don't know, rolling with the punches, it seems kind of rad.
Yeah, of
course. That's the vibe that we got. We didn't even notice what was going on. There were a few stressful times when my finance person phoned me and said, we've got to pay salaries today and we don't have any money.
Yeah. Then how was Everlytic born?
So I told you how we finally had an email newsletter sending business. And we spent a year trying to get that business right. And eventually it started paying for everybody's salaries. And finally we had like a product that was online and customers came to us. They wanted our services. And if they didn't want our services, they stopped paying for us. And that was kind of fine. We could start doing work on our own terms. And I still like sing this message around the office that we're finally in control of our own destiny. We can build either a rubbish piece of product or we can build a fantastic piece of product, and nobody's to blame for how good or how bad it is except us.
Yeah.
So we could finally start doing some cool stuff. And it was great because we started living that. I mean, I follow like an agile principles in business and how I try and run. And a lot of people think of agile as just a business process, but it really is a philosophy and it's an ideal about how we treat people and how we behave. And some of the important things that they talk about is like, you sound like cheesy words, but they mean a lot to me. It's like autonomy and mastery and purpose. And I always wanted to create a company or product where every person could make up their own mind about what they wanted to do, and it would be okay if they made a mistake. I wanted to create a company where everybody could be good at what they did, whether or not it was answering the phone or coding products or doing a marketing message or whatever. Everybody could be as good as they could possibly be. I always think it doesn't really matter what you're doing as long as you believe that you're great at it. It makes life a lot better. And then some sort of purpose. And purpose has always been the hardest thing for me to define in a business. I don't know if email marketing or marketing communications or has that much purpose. It's like we're not like SpaceX or trying to get to Mars. So what we did was always hard to define purpose, but how we did it had a lot of purpose. So the way we run things made a difference. The way we build stuff, the way we treat people internally has always been interesting for me.
You spoke about marketing purpose or communication purpose. Like, how do you feel about that now?
What happened is that product, we built it with those values and belief, and really the product is just a result of how we did things. And now we have where we are now is we had this sort of organic sort of agile product which came from nowhere to definitely being the most dominant digital communications product in South Africa. So just to give you some context, we were late to the market. We had many more South African competitors who'd been around for 10 years, and we made some very interesting strategic risks, tried out some things, and I mean, I think we beat all of those guys. Most of them don't exist anymore, which is a pity. I mean, I like all the competitors that we had, but I think we were a better business and we did well, and we did very well in South Africa. So we're now definitely a dominant player in digital communications, and historically we just used to be email and SMS communication, and where we're going is actually, I find, quite interesting. So a lot of people think of us as an email marketing product or an SMS marketing product, but I really want to drive this business to be a better communication product. How do we help our customers communicate better with their customers? And Evalytics moving into sort of a multi-channel, multi-purpose product that helps our customers communicate with their customers down any channel that they want, whether or not that's voice, SMS, email, mobile, any channel that a customer wants to communicate down, we'll provide the medium. And we'll try and help them communicate in the most effective, most useful way possible. It's important to know we're not an agency. Like, I don't want to advise on your strategy. No one knows how to communicate with your customers better than you. But we are a product that enables large-scale communication across many different channels. Just to give you some indication, I mean, we send hundreds of millions of mails a month. Last year we did 4 billion. Just an indication of the size of this business. And like, everybody always asks me, what do we send? And I'm like, well, NuSBash sends hundreds of thousands of newsletters to all of their Media 24 subscribers every day. Think about all the stuff you're getting from your bank every day. You just can't believe the volume of digital communication that's happening. It's just insane.
How do you feel people are using email differently now, or communication strategies differently now?
Email has changed a lot. I don't see it as being a personal communication platform anymore. So I don't use email in my personal space at all anymore. I probably use WhatsApp a lot. But it definitely has become the de facto business communication tool. So all businesses are communicating with other businesses on that. And then it also has become very much the transactional indicator. So when you're purchasing something or you're actioning an event, you'll get notified via mail. And mail is very different to every other channel. And I don't think enough people realize this. It's fundamentally different in that nobody owns it. WhatsApp owns WhatsApp. Facebook owns Facebook Messenger. Email, no one owns. Anybody can participate. It's ubiquitous. It's free. It's open. It's almost like the culture of the way the internet started as an open communication platform that anybody can participate in. That's what email is. And that's why I don't think it'll die. I think it will change.
And the new areas of communication channels that you're dabbling in, what made you think of those? What made you choose them?
the honest truth is sometimes you just use the easiest one first. So the first one that we did was push. We thought it was easier. It was a disaster. So pushing notifications to mobile devices and integration seamlessly with any app, we thought we could achieve that easily. That took us 6 months, but it's now live and working well. Second one we did was voice. And at first I hated voice because we've all received robocalls and hate them. But then I started receiving certain sort of robocalls that were useful. Text-to-speech dialing for people who don't necessarily have email just became a phenomenal opportunity. There's just so many people doing it and it's done so badly. And how do we provide tech that makes it get done well? Yeah. And that's why we did voice second.
And I think it's just education, especially in the communication space, is people are using things incorrectly. And it's about how do we educate the industry on using them better?
Yeah, and that's our job as a provider. Like, we can tell people what's better to do. How do we make people less angry? How do we make people's lives better? And then we let our customers do what they choose. We're just providing the roads, but we wanted people to drive on them properly. And that's part of what we're trying to get right.
Where to from here? Where do you see the company growing? What can customers expect?
I think there's two things to think about when we think, like, where is a product going and where's the company going? I'd like Evalytic to be globally relevant. I think that's definitely a goal that we have. I never used to think that way. Like, a lot of people would ask me, why aren't you expanding into Africa? And I tried that. I mean, we opened up offices in Kenya and Ghana. It was a complete disaster. Wow, that was a failure. And I realized that there's probably more business in Pretoria than the whole of Kenya. And no disrespect to Kenya, but it's just like how developed the South African market is. I don't think we give South Africa enough respect and the respect that it deserves on just how big this market is and how much there is here. So, like, why do we want to go to our neighbors when there's so much untapped just in our own garden? But I think I'd like to take on just some of the other developed markets. US is, I mean, there's 300 million people in the US. They all speak English. Enormous market. We should try that, see how that goes. So that's where I'd like to take the company. We had some wild maverick ideas that we wanted to dominate the world and be globally interesting. I was young and silly, how much money and how much time that would take. So we tried that, and we came back to South Africa. But I'd like to try that again. And I'd also just like to make some, as far as the product's concerned, like, let's create a multiple channel communication platform that our customers can communicate down any platform that they want. And let's make that a beautiful experience. Like, I have a key sort of feeling that when you're using any sort of product, it should feel nice, right? And it should... Nobody needs a degree to operate a digital communication product. How do we build the best, most user-friendly product that's out there and make people feel nice about using it? I love doing that sort of stuff and getting the product strategy right around those things. I mean, I have a company full of a whole bunch of very smart people. I want to listen to them more, see what they want out of the business. Where do we want to take it? What happens? There's no doubt they have a whole lot of better ideas than me.
You know, because it's the second time you've touched on the smart people in your company, chatted about being agile. Like, what are some of the other culture things that have moved your company forward?
I think a lot of people underestimate what culture means in businesses, right? And I think if you just talk about it from a really superficial, lame sort of productivity point of view, is if you have a great culture, you get a lot of discretionary effort. If you have a bad culture, you get no discretionary effort, right? It means that nobody does anything extra. You have to tell and instruct. And I think we have a company where nobody's shy to make a mistake, try something new, fail, support each other. Yeah, I like to think of us as brothers and sisters, not necessarily family, more brothers and sisters, because brothers and sisters fight like crazy. But if anybody messes with a brother and sister, they'll knock them out, right?
Yeah.
They're on the same team 24/7. That's what I like to think of us like. We disagree with each other internally, but we're a united force going forward. And it also gets the best out of people. I always tell everybody this. I'm actually not very smart. I just work really hard 24/7. I've always thought about what is the environment that makes me perform the best that is possible for me. And then I try and create that for other people as well. And that's an environment of trust and care and support. An environment where you can go home and see your family. Like, I hate these 24/7 working places. A lot of people think about how do we improve productivity. I just say one of the ways is to just reduce waste. Let's stop making the wrong decisions all the time, right? So how do we create an environment where we're making more correct decisions and therefore we reduce less waste, or we have less waste? And that's just, so many people are not thinking about that. They just want people to work harder, do more hours. How do we do less wrong?
Yeah.
Nobody asks that question.
Yeah, right. And also, if you have highly stressed out people, you're not going to get much out of them anyway.
They do more wrong.
100%. Anyway,
that's some of the stuff.
Final question. What does Evalytic mean?
That name. So I'll tell you the naming story. So in the early days of our business, we were called a company called PMailer, and that was the dark days of our business. I just purchased a product off the net and rebranded it as ours, and we sold it. I spent 4 years awake dealing with international suppliers. And we finally built our own product. We launched it as Evalytic so that we could make a clean break from the past. And Evalytic is just the combinations of words of ever and analytics. But we did have 11,000 names before that. Words like Asilo and Jakari and so many. It was crazy. My partner and I were just SMSing each other a million times a day. We eventually came up with Evalytic. I like the name. I think it's a really cool name.
It is.
Yeah.
Thanks, Sam.
No problem. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Cheers.